Hey everybody, thanks for joining us this week on Channel 9. I'm your host, Jeremy Foster, and my co-host today is, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Greg Bullmash. I'm a developer evangelist with Avalara, who makes sales tax less taxing. I also run Seattle Coder Dojo, which is a volunteer group here in Seattle that teaches coding to kids.
Little kids, huh? How big? How
8 to 18. We recommend 8 as the minimum age because if programming is basically applied math and logic, so they're too young, they just hit a wall.
Yeah, yeah, that's a cool group, I know. And actually, we talked about it on a previous episode of my other podcast, Code Chat, so people can go back and take a look at that. But today, our job is to deliver the news.
The news.
We've got to deliver the news.
And today in the news.
We're going to jump right in. First of all, a story, save the date, very important, Visual Studio 2015. I imagine that you're all using the release candidate. The news is that it is going to RTM on July 20th. Does that sound vaguely close to any other release dates that have been announced?
I think it's about 9 days before Windows 10 drops.
And that's right, and we'll get to that in just a second. But in this news, Visual Studio 2015, yeah, this is a big moment for it. 2015 is great. There's lots of cool additions to 2015. The Cordova tooling is built right in. The Task Runner Explorer is built right in. The Git UI and the way that it handles connecting with Git repositories, whether it's GitHub or local repositories or whatever, is much improved. It has built-in improved JavaScript support, so support for AngularJS and RequireJS. It has a JS doc documentation, ECMAScript 2015 support. So all of the ES6 goodness is going to be built right into it as far as your IntelliSense and whatever. Also supporting touch events, web audio, comment tasks, and a navigation bar for JavaScript. So all kinds of really good JavaScript goodness in this one.
Is there anything it doesn't do?
No, it does everything. And right. It officially does everything now. Visual Studio 2013 did almost everything, and now here we are.
You asked, they delivered. So I'm doing the next story here.
This is you.
So the next story is about how to use Process Monitor and Process Explorer. Scott Hanselman was debugging a problem he was having with the Git Windows GUI application. And so he decided to show off how he debugged it using the Process Monitor and Process Explorer applications. Now, the great thing about these is they really give you a huge view under the hood of what Windows is doing when you're running apps and can really help you find good things. And, you know, what ended up happening, I'm going to give a spoiler. Uh-oh. He had a version of GitHub that had hung and was running in the background that was preventing him from actually starting GitHub. And so I've had that happen a bunch of times. And also another thing that Process Explorer is really good for, if you've ever had a file where you can't move it or delete it because something else is using it and you can't find out what.
That kills me.
Process Explorer lets you do a search and find out what's using it.
That's nice. You know what I always use Process Explorer for is I'll clear it and then I'll do something and I'll see which files were just accessed or read from or written to, and then I know exactly what this process is talking to on the disk, what it's expecting. So
yeah, that's useful.
Okay, in other news, here it is, July 29, the release date for Windows 10. That's already been announced. You heard it here first, Visual Studio 2015 on July 20th. There's a 9-day discrepancy there. So this is kind of important news here for developers, okay? And here's the guidance. If you're working on a universal Windows platform app, a UWP app right now, you need to hold off until July 29th, because in this 9-day gap, if you upgrade Visual Studio 2015 to RTM, it's not going to be able to work on UWP apps. So for 9 days, you won't be able to work on those apps. So if you are currently working on Universal Windows Platform apps, hold off until July 29th. If not, then you can go ahead and upgrade on July 20th.
Or upgrade on July 20th and then take a vacation.
That's an even better advice. I like it.
All right, so the next one we're talking about is Windows 10 developer training. Oh, wait, become a Git master. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. So this is actually a very interesting Git tutorial because beginning Git tutorials, they're all over the place, but this is sort of the next level of Git tutorials, which talks about getting under the hood of your repos, getting under the hood of what Git's doing. And it's actually very good. My favorite advice is that you should branch early and branch often. But the funny part of this is he recommends getting familiar with the Git command line. And that was funny to me because first story I'm working on is Scott Hanselman debugging the Git GUI.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get familiar with the Git command line, no Git GUI to debug.
There you go. It's all happening at the command line.
Yeah.
Your Git confusion will happen at the command line. Windows 10 SDK preview build 10158. So the latest version of the Windows 10 tech preview 10158 dropped. This is the fast ring. If you're in the insider, so you go to insiders.windows.com and you sign up and your machine is upgraded to Windows 10. And we've been going through these builds, and the latest one as of this article is 10158. But in other news, this just in, build 10162 dropped right before the show recorded. So there you go. You can go to your fast ring. Basically, you just go search and ask Windows, are there any more updates? And it'll say, hey, I just found 10162 if you're on the fast ring. And it's going to upgrade your machine to that. Mine's on 10158. I didn't attempt to upgrade my machine 2 minutes before the show aired. But 10158 has got some really slick UI added into it. Let me just try something here real quick. Okay, ready?
Sure.
I'm just going to lock my machine. There we go. Oh, no, that didn't work. Okay, so it's not going to project my lock screen. Let's see if this works. No, my login screen doesn't come through either. Anyway, I thought I was going to be able to show you this new UI, but I wasn't. Anyway.
Well, I think it's sort of good that it's not showing your login screen, so we don't know how many characters are in your password.
That's exactly true.
So, our next story, Windows 10 Developer Training Resources. This is a really good curated list of developer videos. Most of them are from build, so it's sort of a best of build. If you weren't able to make it to build, or perhaps you were at build but you had some hard choices to make, this is a great list to find great build videos with tools and techniques and practical implementations of them.
Working toward universal interoperability in IoT. IoT is a hot subject. It's one of my favorite subjects right now. In fact, I just got done dropping a course in Pluralsight on IoT. It's Node.js for IoT using Intel Edison. It's a really fun course. It's live now, so if you're a Pluralsight subscriber, you can go check that out. But this article is about IoT and this idea of universal interoperability. That means that if I've got some little device and you've got some little device and we walk into a restaurant, all these little things that are connected to the internet need to be able to discover each other and interop with each other, right? And we're all looking for a standard. I mean, how bad would it be if yours and my cell phones weren't able to communicate with each other? Of course, all phones have to be able to communicate with each other. Well, IoT devices do too. And this is really important in the IoT world. It's really important to Microsoft. And for instance, in Windows 10 are huge on AllJoin and supporting AllJoin because that's what that's for. This is another group called Thread that Microsoft has joined. They're excited to work with Thread on more interoperability. So the Thread group is kind of a mesh network of interoperability. And Microsoft says that's exactly what we want, and we're joining the group.
You know, I got to say, when I was a Microsoft employee, I was working on Internet Explorer documentation, and our team was very involved with the W3C. The IEPMs were very involved. It's really great to see that Microsoft has become such a standards bearer rather than a standards bender.
Great way to say that.
So our next story is Learn JavaScript in One Picture. And, you know, when I first heard about this, I'm like, either this is madness or it's a gag. But when I actually started looking at the picture, this is really an elegant way of expressing JavaScript as a branching diagram. Now, I would not say it's a good learning tool for a beginner because there's really no context. But if you know a little bit of JavaScript and you start exploring this, it can really sort of open your mind to the way JavaScript and all its pieces interact.
So, and this isn't the whole picture, right? It's this.
Yeah,
it feels cheating because it's a huge picture.
Yeah, it's huge. And it goes into, you know, what your different kinds of control structures are, your data structures. It's, you know, it's very interesting.
That's cool. I like the one picture things. Announcing the 1.0.0 release of Application Insights Windows SDKs. If you're not familiar with what Application Insights is, it's a framework for instrumenting your applications. Okay, so you can put really good profiling into your application where you can get information about where it starts, what the performance of the individual function calls and things like that are, and you get visibility into this app running, whether it's running mobile or running out on the web or whatever. Currently, Application Insights supports ASP.NET, Windows applications, and Java web applications. But with the 1.0.0 release, you want to hear the list of application
types. Is it
going to
be as huge as what Visual Studio's doing now?
Yeah, I don't know. You tell me. So the same three I just read, plus JavaScript-based web pages, iOS, Mac OS X, Android, PHP, Python, Ruby, and Node.js support. So that's
okay,
pretty great.
But no support for COBOL.
sorry. No support for COBOL or Fortran at this time. And with getting the 1.0.0, you can assure that there will be more stability than when the project is in beta.
You can feel confident putting it into production.
Yeah, that's right.
So our next thing is the MVP in America's Connect communities to Microsoft Virtual Academy and Channel 9.
Oh, break that down for me.
Yeah, so like the Windows 10 developer training resources, this is a great curated list of training resources, but these are ones created by MVPs outside the United States. And if you go to conferences nowadays, you're going to see that there are a lot more Latin American developers showing up. Internet penetration in Brazil is up to 53% now, which is,
wow,
with a population of over 200 million, I like to say that this is, what we got here? We've got content by MVPs in Portuguese for 100 million Brazilians.
Content from MVPs in Portuguese for 100 million Brazilians?
Content by MVPs in Portuguese for 100 million Brazilians.
That's tremendous. Thank you, Greg. New Channel 9 Visual Studio Hub. If you frequent Channel 9, great. If not, you should. There's a Visual Studio Hub. You simply go to channel9.msdn.com/Visual Studio, and you see a kind of a curated list of all of the good Visual Studio content that you might want to watch. Really good videos on here from program group folks that they know what they're talking about. Oh, another one on my plate here, Maker.js. This is a really cool framework. It's Java. Once again, this is JavaScript and IoT, which is just really fun because JavaScript is this high-level, fun programming language, and we're talking to little tiny devices. Well, this is not really IoT. It's more Maker, which, you know, the lines blur.
I don't think a CNC or a laser cutter is a little tiny device.
It's not a little. It's a pretty big device. You're right. This is Maker.js, and it's for people that in the Maker community, which, like I said, the lines blur between Maker and IoT, but in the Maker community, people that are using CNC routers and laser cutters to cut things out can use JavaScript to programmatically write these shapes, and this is the framework for helping you to get that done. So, in other words, if you know this space to any degree, this might make sense and help you to kind of position this. Think OpenSCAD for JavaScript is what this is.
Ooh.
So you write your JavaScript and out comes an SVG file, and then you just drop that into your laser cutter program and you're cutting out shapes that you created programmatically. You can actually go check out this sample app that he created on the Maker.js framework as an example, and in it there's a graphical interface. So you can just slide some bars and change some values, and so pretty neat. I think that's really exciting.
That's awesome.
What you got for us?
So our next thing is the Open Worldwide Telescope with the .NET Foundation. Now Microsoft Research has been building this Worldwide Telescope app. It's ridiculous. It takes astronomy data from around the world and brings it all together to make these amazing visualizations of our universe that are totally prograde. Astronomers use them, observatories use them. You can make your own sort of documentary quality videos with these. And they've open sourced it.
That's
it's
awesome.
On GitHub. It's got a permissive MIT license. And they've joined the .NET Foundation, which is sort of like, you know, like the Apache Foundation for pushing forward .NET open source projects.
I highly recommend that people tap into this astronomical amount of data because it is stellar.
Oh.
All right, what do we got next? PowerShell ISE theme. This is really important. Really important. If you like PowerShell and you use not only PowerShell but PowerShell ISE, that's the great environment for PowerShell.
Integrated Script Editor.
Thank you for knowing that acronym for me. If you use the Integrated Script Editor and you want it to look like Visual Studio Code and use a dark theme, once again, very important. You can use this theme that Stuart Leakes has created that's going to make your PowerShell look just like your Visual Studio Code, and now you've got some consistency. I think that what we're working toward here is developer joy. We as developers, we want to have our environment all set up. We want it to be perfect, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, any new computer, it's like you got to spend 2 hours taking all the junk off of it, and then 8 hours putting all your junk on it.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week!
Pick of the Week. Greg, your Pick of the Week first.
So, Minecraft just started their Minecraft and Education site, and they're starting a conversation with teachers and other educators about how to use Minecraft in teaching. And this is sort of important to me because in a week and a half, I'm teaching a Minecraft modding class at Seattle Coder Dojo. We sold that out in 6 minutes. Which is ridiculous. The only thing that we sold out faster was this. And that's because our partners were giving away a free Raspberry Pi to every kid.
That would do it.
And so for the first time in 2 years of teaching JavaScript, instead of teaching the Hello World in the browser, I'm going to teach it in Minecraft. Hello World in Minecraft in JavaScript. I think that the potential, the potential for teaching using Minecraft is just mind-blowing, and kids love it. It really engages them, and it creates get a reward of having, you know, all sorts of more powers, more things in Minecraft that makes it really attractive to children.
That's awesome. I mean, kids just absolutely love this game.
There are 70 million copies of Minecraft out there.
And the fact that they can be introduced to becoming software developers by way of this is just awesome. I'm excited about that,
too. They can learn to mod in Python, JavaScript, and the native Java right now.
That's neat. Okay, are we good on that
one? I'm good.
Okay, it's time for my pick of the week. My pick of the week is just a little bit more geeky and low level, but I was at a meetup last night in Seattle called Seattle Node.js, really cool meetup. And this guy by the name of Dan Rathbone talked about his NPM module. I love NPM's module library, their package library. There's literally like 150,000 packages in NPM. Yeah. Well, he just published this one, and it's really cool. It's real nascent. It's in 0.0.1, but it's really simple. It doesn't try to do a whole lot. And all it is it's another, perhaps better async pattern. So we've got async and node. We've got promises that we all know. And this uses kind of the same conventions, but you know how in promises you're able to say, do something, then this, then this, then this. Now, if you want to have a few things done and you want to wait until all of those things are done before you do something else, then you have to do an interesting method call and do an all. You have to, with your promise library, you have to do an all and package a few different tasks up together, a few promises up together. Well, with easy async, you get this other keyword of dot and. So you can say do something, and something, and something, and something, and then something. And it's going to do all the first four things before it does the next thing. So just a really cool pattern, really simple, and you don't have to know a lot.
You can batch the async calls together in a promise and then have another one follow.
That's effectively what's happening, but you don't have to wrap them in a function or anything. You just call one, and then the next one, and then the next one, and the next one. And then you get into your thens. So pretty slick.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really nice. Definitely. That's my pick of the week.
Awesome. Yeah, I almost went to that, but where they were holding it, I went there last summer for some meetups, and it's so hot there.
Was it warm? It was
warm.
Yeah,
it was warm.
But it's a cool space.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice space. It's not cool. It's hot. It's a good space. Hey, thanks, everybody, for joining us this week on Channel 9.